Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, and I would like for you to please sign the register and let us sing the hymn of preparation, which you will find at the top of your bulletin. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to make a phone call, please. Excuse me just a minute. Emmy. Silly thing.
Main Street United Methodist Church, this is Emmy.
Getting my announcement ready for Sunday service, and I wonder, could I get some information from you about the morning service, please?
Sure. What do you need to know?
Well, first of all, are we having our traditional Maundy Thursday service in the sanctuary?
No, this year the service will be in the fellowship hall, and there will be a meal followed by a Vesper service. The service will include Holy Communion, music, and a short dramatic presentation. It should be a neat and unique worship experience.
Wow, that sounds great. What time is it?
6 o'clock on April 1st.
Oh, okay. But that's right, it's supper time, isn't it? You said there's going to be a meal?
Yes, there's a meal, and we're asking people to arrive a little bit early and to wait in the hallway outside the fellowship hall. There'll be some prayer stations that will help people prepare for the service. When everything is ready, the doors will open and everyone will enter the fellowship hall together. There'll be a light meal followed by worship. The menu includes chicken, fruit, bread, and cheese. Some of the same things Jesus and his disciples may have eaten. Sorry, no hot dogs on this night.
Well, is it going to cost us the same as the gathering meal?
There is no cost, although a love offering will be taken to help cover the cost of the meal.
Well, do our Wednesday night reservations save a seat for us?
No, not this time. Since it will include a meal and there is no charge, it is very important. Maybe I should say that again. It is very important that we know how many people are coming. Everyone planning to attend needs to call the church office and make a reservation. They will be given a ticket, which will be shown as they arrive on April the 1st.
Oh, will there be child care?
There will be a nursery for all children, kindergarten age and younger. And we're encouraging parents to bring their elementary school children and, of course, the youth.
Gosh, Emmy, this sounds like an excellent opportunity for teaching children and adults alike a little bit more about what happened that night so long ago. Thank you so much for the information. I can't wait to pass this on to the congregation on Sunday and to my friends. You can certainly put me down for a reservation. Thanks, Emmy. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Thank you. Let us continue to prepare our hearts and minds for worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
those who are able, please stand for the call to worship and remain standing for hymn number 102. God's Spirit is moving among us. Give thanks. Our God is about to do a new thing in our midst. How good it is to be chosen by God. We gather to sing our praises and thanks. God has done great things for us. We are glad. Now God is pointing us toward new goals. We are waiting to hear what God would have us do. We are ready to risk new behaviors to be faithful. Into the wilderness of our lives comes living water. Into the sorrow of our days comes reason for joy. Forgetting what lies behind, we greet our future. We press on, responding to the upward call of Christ.
Seated. How much easier it is to criticize others than to see our own faults. How quickly we bemoan our suffering and struggles instead of rehearsing all our reasons for gratitude and joy. How often we cling to the past rather than heeding God's call to new life. We are invited to confess our destructive attitudes. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of personal and silent confession. O God, whose upward call in Christ Jesus we have so often chosen to ignore, we confess that we settle for lesser goals while you summon us to embrace the realm of heaven. We seldom look beyond our own interests to the well-being of our sisters and brothers. We can see the wasteful acts of other people, but not our own selfish habits. We exaggerate the contributions we make, but ignore the sacrifices of others. We need forgiveness, O God. Hear our prayers and do a new thing within and among us.
God summons us to return and welcomes us with joy. We are restored to full communion with the saints and are united in the heavenly call of Christ. Together we find our horizons expanded and our priorities refined. God forgives us and sets before us once more the promise of fullness of life. Embrace God's pardon with renewed faith and joy. Amen. I want to call your attention to the insert in your bulletin. We do have a baptism. It is a high and holy moment in the life of this church, the baptism of Amber Elizabeth Thomas, Jeff and Deanna's daughter. I call them forward now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present to you Amber Elizabeth Thomas for baptism. Now, Deanna, Jeff, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
We do.
Will you nurture Amber in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
Amen.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Amber and her family now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. And now let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. I ask all, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Now the Lord be with you.
Let us pray.
Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay. Now, Amber Elizabeth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, she is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome her as a member of the family of Christ. Now, members of the household of God, I do commend Amber Thomas to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And before our benediction from this part of the service, I want to present to the family, really to Amber, this is your prayer shawl, which has been made by hand by some of our ladies in the prayer shawl ministry and blessed and given to you as a blessing, and you don't have to share it. Now, may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, Amber, and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Okay. Just give her a little...
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. You can find this on page 823 of the Old Testament section in your pew Bible. This passage speaks of God's determination to end the exile of the people in Babylon and to liberate them from captivity, to return to Canaan. Listen for God's word to us. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Blessed be these words.
I invite you now to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. We will use Psalm 126, found on page 847 in the hymnal. We will be singing response number 2, which Joyce will play now.
With a morning light comes joy.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
And our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them."
With a morning light comes joy.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
Those who go forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing.
Night weeping may tarry, with a morning light comes joy.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. You can find this on page 242 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Here Paul states quite plainly that despite one's accomplishments and credentials, nothing compares to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord and the power of his resurrection. Listen again for God's word to us. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
As we come to our time of prayer, let me lift up several concerns, some of which you may not be aware. Faye Terry and her family, we need to continue to be in prayer for them at the loss of Arlen. Bill Tunstall is here today, recovering slowly from his shoulder surgery. Mary Jane Thompson we saw last week and is recovering well from her shoulder surgery. Patricia Lindell is in the hospital today, having some tests, has been in since yesterday. Darwin Schlesing, we found out this morning, is in the hospital as well. Frank Rice, continue to pray for him in Afghanistan. I want you to pray for our confirmands as they approach the day they will join on Mother's Day. And Betty Staples will have surgery tomorrow morning to repair a knee. Other concerns I encourage you to lift up during our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, who and what are we that you should be mindful of us? And yet you have come to us all the way to the cross for us. And still we fumble and fall and forget our call to witness and serve and make disciples. And yet we cling to your love and we cling to the power available through your Holy Spirit to get up and to begin again. As we seek to grow from faith to faith after the higher calling of having the mind in us that was in Christ. Lord, some of us are grieving the loss of loved ones. Some of us are grieving the loss of jobs, the loss of dreams. We pray that you open the closed doors, that you lead us onto your path, and give us a direction where we are stumped and directionless. Bless our efforts in your name and bless our trust in you. Lord, we do also pray for the leaders of our nation, that they be open to the influence and the guidance and wisdom of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you guide them and that you guide us as your church. Lord, empower us to be extravagantly faithful and generous and compassionate in the name of Christ, as you have been extravagant with us and poured out your grace and your immeasurable love for each of us in your Son, Jesus. Lead us to more faithful witness. And we lift before you now our prayers, the prayers of our hearts, our thanksgivings, our prayers for one another, our prayers for problems that we never speak aloud except to you, our prayers for guidance, for courage, for direction. Hear now. Lord, hear now our silent prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship as we worship now through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our special gifts.
God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Can everybody see what I have in my hand? Can anybody read what it says? Of course, it's just a prop, but can you read it? It's a big word. Oh, that's so close. Imperial? What's the second word? Majesty. It sounds a lot like that, doesn't it? Okay, let's pretend that inside this bottle is the most expensive perfume that they make in the world. And this is really true. Now, this is just a prop. This really isn't it. But did you know that there really is the world's most expensive perfume, and it's really called Imperial Majesty? And I want you to take a guess at how much one bottle of Imperial Majesty perfume really costs if you, like, look it up on the internet or you go to Neiman Marcus or you go somewhere and you buy it. What would you guess?
Probably $300.
$300 is a great guess. Think higher. $400, $500 is also a good guess, but it's higher.
$1,000
is a great guess, but y'all, guess how much it costs. You want to try?
$1,000
is also a good guess. Guess how much one bottle of Imperial Majesty really costs. $10,000 is getting close, but guess what? It's much higher. It's $215,000 a bottle. $215,000 a bottle. That means it's $2,150 for every ounce. You know, think about an ounce of liquid in the bottle, okay? Well, let's just pretend that... Let's say one day I wanted to make my new puppy, Holly. Did I tell y'all I got a new puppy for Christmas? It's a little miniature dachshund, and she's very, very cute. Her name is Holly. You have a big dog. Her name is Holly. Well, let's just pretend that one day I wanted to make Holly smell really, really good. And let's just say that I took the contents of the Imperial Majesty perfume and I poured every bit of it into a nice warm tub for little Miss Holly to take a lovely, luxurious bath. Would you think that Miss Smith had lost her mind? You would? Well, but I love Holly. And she means the world to me, and yeah, well, I just wanted to give her the
you could give not all of it.
I could give it some of it. I could have rationed it out a little bit better, couldn't I? I could have used something from Walmart, to be honest, right? Okay. All right, but I love her, and I just, she means the world to me, and I wanted to give her the best thing I had, and that was the gift of smelling good. So...
I know it.
I just wasn't thinking, was I? Well, I'll bet you really love somebody too. And I'll bet you that you would be willing to give them your most prized possessions too if they really needed it. And guess what? That's exactly what happened today in the scripture that Mr. Reverend Dennis is going to be preaching about today. Jesus was having dinner with Lazarus. You remember him, don't you? Lazarus was the man who Jesus brought back from the dead which was a miracle, wasn't it? Well, Jesus was having dinner with Lazarus and Lazarus' two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Martha was preparing dinner because Martha always did that kind of thing. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was hanging on every word that Jesus said. She was just so interested in what he had to say. And she was so moved by what Jesus, by his words, that she did something really extraordinary. She took a bottle, you know this, don't you? She took a bottle of the most expensive perfume back in Jesus' day that there was, and she poured the entire contents of that bottle on Jesus' feet. And she washed his feet, and then she dried his feet with her hair. She loved Jesus so much that she wanted to give him the very best that she had to offer. Jesus wants us to give him the very best that we have to offer. And of course, it doesn't have to be a bottle of Imperial Majesty. But he does expect us to do the very best that we can to be good disciples of Christ. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us the best gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to always give you our very best. Amen.
Now let us briefly pass the peace. The gospel lesson is from John, the 12th chapter, the first 8 verses. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead.
There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Smells do bring back memories. To this day, whenever I smell menthol, I remember Vicks VapoRub and my grandmother Meemaw. They all went together. Different smells trigger different memories. I heard of a little girl who hugged her grandmother and said, "Grandmom, you smell so wonderful. Is that oil of old lady?" That's the only thing you're going to remember from this sermon, I know. I'm sure grandmom didn't forget that one. Imagine, though, with your mind and your nose, all that strong perfume filling the house where Jesus was. Some commentators say that that amount was a year's wages. Imagine the look of fake outrage on Judas' face, who said that perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Now, by poor, he meant himself. You see, Judas did stick his hand in the money bag. And so, along the way to the real message here, we get a reminder that not everyone who claims to be concerned about the poor is really concerned about anything more than themselves. But the real lesson is about extravagance toward God and toward others when time and opportunity to collide and demand a response. Jesus' time on earth was short, very short. He would soon hang from a cross. And you remember when Jesus brought that up, Peter said, no, don't even talk about a cross. But Mary of Bethany brought forth the very best she had, the most valuable thing she had, this perfume, to anoint his body for his upcoming burial. There are moments passing away in front of all of us, moments of time and opportunity in which we either recognize and respond that this is a time we must do something extravagant, or we miss it forever. Famed author Thomas Carlyle loved his wife Jane Welsh Carlyle. But people said you never would have guessed it. He was irritable, he was harsh-tempered, and he was close-mouthed. He never told her. Unexpectedly, suddenly, she died. And his biographer writes, he was looking through her papers, her notebooks, her journals, and realized that he had treated her very badly and never, ever voiced any affection or compassion or love to her. Then he later wrote, he cried again and again, "If I could see her but once more, were it only for 5 minutes, to let her know that I always loved her through it all. And she never did know it. I never told her, not ever." Yes, there is a time for action, for doing and saying things. And when that time has passed, it is too late. Mary's timing was perfect. She was only a few days early in her act of extravagant worship and recognition that the living Jesus would soon be a dead man in a tomb. What she did out of recognition of Jesus' coming hour of death and out of her understanding of God's unfathomable love for us in Jesus' life and death and resurrection. There are times when extravagance toward God and extravagance toward others are called for, perhaps demanded. Now please note before I leave that thought that nowhere I have seen in Scripture, if you're thinking of buying that new car, that new dress or doodad or jewelry or watch, I can't find any scriptural warrant for being extravagant toward yourself. Some sparkly TV evangelist aside, I don't see that in Scripture. But I do see a call of extravagance toward God in worship and in service and in witness to others and in gifts of love and compassion and grace toward others, even strangers, even enemies. Let me make this very personal. Now, my wife said not to do this, but she's not here today. When my daughters got married, I did not say for the weddings, let's go cheap. For Allison, who wed first, we spent and we spent and we spent and didn't really have a budget, and eventually we had to mortgage our paid-for retirement land to pay off that debt. Now, we have done that just a few months ago. It's ours again. For Christina, my younger daughter, who married shortly thereafter, we borrowed money from my retirement fund. As the old country joke goes, I have all the money I need for the rest of my life if I don't live too long. My son Dave was married, but when you're the father of the groom, it doesn't cost that much. The weddings were beautiful. The weddings were unforgettable, and everyone was happy and is still happy. And sure, I could have bought a new small BMW instead of the weddings, but it is a matter of priorities, and I like the way that we did it. Mary in the gospel broke open a jar of the most expensive perfume, most labor-intensive, hard-to-get perfume of that day, and it was pure. It was not diluted. It was not eau de nard. It was pure nard. I don't think they had PR guys for perfume back in those days. She could have skimped and used only a little bit. The smell still would have been adequate, but she used every bit. She could have done a great many other things with the price of it, but the thing that she wanted to do was to lavishly, extravagantly honor Jesus, her Lord. Sometimes extravagant is the only way to go. If God is your top priority, and you know in your heart that God has gifted you with every day of life, and through Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, God has gifted you with forgiveness, love, and life eternal. If you know that, how are you going to respond? Go cheap? Do you really think it's okay to go cheap with God in our worship, in our witness, in our service? Did God tell us to sing songs about making disciples and otherwise keep quiet out there? Keep it contained within these walls on Sundays? No. In worship and in witness out there and in generosity and compassion, extravagant is the only way to go. God's gifts are extravagant to us. And God's expectations from us are on the extravagant side too. Think of it. We are expected to forgive enemies in light of the knowledge that God has forgiven us. We are expected to care for the outcast and the underdog and the beaten man lying on the side of the road in the ditch. At least that's what Jesus said at the end of the Good Samaritan story. He said, go and do likewise. And using our own money to care for others, and that seems to be the point of the story, even when you don't know them and you don't know how much it's going to cost. Go and do likewise, said Jesus, as the Good Samaritan did. Extravagant expectations from a God who loves and gifts us extravagantly every day. And so Mary may be onto something. But over the years, many people have criticized churches, just as people criticize my daughter's weddings. You spent too much. It was unnecessary. Of course it wasn't necessary, but there are times and places where extravagant is the way to go. Mary seemed to know that if she ever was going to break open this jar of perfume, it was now. Jesus was in her home. Her brother Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead, was there at the table. The same Jesus was only days away from the cross. Now was the time. And this sort of thought is really a very Methodist thought as well. No less than John Wesley said, and John Wesley lived this example. He said, go ahead, make all you can. And then he said, now, but save all you can, and then give all you can. Giving is such a joy. I love to give to the church first, and then I like to give small gifts to friends and family, and once in a while, larger gifts to help someone develop a talent or to support a ministry that I believe in. And it feels good to be extravagant once in a while. It actually feels good to deny yourself once in a while. Try it. Break the jar you've been saving. From the widow's mite, where the widow gave all that she had, to the little boy's lunch of loaves and fish, which Jesus took and turned into a lunch for 5,000, Jesus seems to encourage us to trust God and to give and watch how our gifts are multiplied when given with trust and faith. I want to tell you a story. This is one of those preacher tearjerker stories, and I don't use them very often, but I like this one. Let me tell you about Tess. Tess was a precocious 8-year-old little girl, and one day she overheard her parents talking very seriously about her little brother, Andrew. Tess didn't understand everything they were saying, but she got the gist of it. Her brother, Andrew, was very, very sick, and they didn't have enough money to help. Only a very expensive surgery could help Andrew, and they did not have adequate insurance, and they did not have adequate credit to borrow the money. Tess heard her dad say to her tearful mother, "Only a miracle can save Andrew now." Tess ran to her room, and she pulled out of the closet her little jelly jar with her life's savings in it. Now, she's only 8. And her life savings, after she counted it out, turned out to be $1.11. So she slipped out the back door, and she walked the 6 blocks to the Rexall drugstore. And she was trying to get the attention of the pharmacist, who was standing there talking to another man intently and didn't even notice Tess. And Tess cleared her throat, and that didn't work. And finally, Tess banged a quarter on the glass counter, and he said, "Just a minute. Could you wait a minute? I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, whom I haven't seen in ages." And Tess said, "Well, I want to talk to you about my brother. He's really, really sick, and I want to buy a miracle. His name is Andrew, and he has something growing inside his head, and Daddy says only a miracle can save him. So how much does a miracle cost? I have the money here to pay for it. It's all that I have saved, and if it's not enough, then I'll go get some other money some other place." Well, the pharmacist's brother was a well-dressed man, and he stooped down and he asked Tess, "What kind of miracle does your brother need?" And Tess said, "I don't know. I just know that he's very sick, and Mommy says he needs an operation. My parents can't pay for it, so I want to buy him the miracle." The man from Chicago says, "How much do you have?" And she said proudly, $1.11. "It's all the money I have in the world." And the man from Chicago said, "Well, you're in luck. $1.11 is the exact price of a miracle for little brothers." And he took her money, and he took hold of her hand and said, "Take me to where you live. I want to see your brother and talk to your parents. Let's see if I have the kind of miracle you need." Well, it turns out that well-dressed man from Chicago was one Dr. Carlton Armstrong, who just happened to be a noted neurosurgeon. He performed the operation. He took care of all the cost, and it was a success. Andrew went home and was healing and doing well. Tess's mom and dad were so grateful, and they were talking one night about the chain of events that had saved Andrew's life. "That surgery," her mom said, "was a real miracle. I just wonder how much it would have cost." Tess smiled. She knew exactly how much a miracle cost. $1.11, all she had. Plus, the skill and graciousness of a great doctor, and of course, the compassion and the love of an 8-year-old sister. And some people might say, "Well, it was only $1.11, but it was all that she had, and she gave all that she had to save her little brother, and so it was an extravagant gift." And that story reminds us that sometimes time and opportunity call for extravagance from us. From the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus turned into enough food for 5,000, to the undereducated fishermen that Jesus turned into apostles. Or last week, the sermon about the prodigal son, or you could say the waiting father. What does that story mean if not that we have an extravagant God who, when we take and take and take from God the gifts and then we waste it all and come crawling back in rags, He welcomes us with open arms and throws us a party. And isn't the same message wrapped up in little Zacchaeus, short little Zacchaeus, who I sometimes get confused with the Grinch and see his heart growing 4 sizes that day. He turned from a thief and a bully extorting taxes from his kinsmen into a man who paid back extravagantly 4 times what he had stolen from the victims. When he understood Jesus' love and forgiveness and grace, even for himself, he could not contain himself, and he overflowed with way more than calculated justice, way more than the law required. He quadrupled back to the victims. He gave them back a 400% rate of return on what he had stolen. and on through the Scripture. God has lavished grace upon grace to His people and to the world and to whomsoever will come unto Jesus as Lord and Savior. On and on. God is extravagant toward us. And one of the ways that we can show our response to God's extravagance is through thanksgiving and praise and a service of worship. Sing as if you know what God has done for you, as the choir sang today. Sing as if you appreciate life and opportunities and second chances you've been given, and then serve. Serve as if you believe God loves you and has enabled you to share that extravagant love with others. You will be blessed when you do. You have been blessed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, so you can sing and serve and share and witness. You can be extravagant. As a response to the ways we know God has been extravagant to us, in your love, compassion, generosity, and forgiveness, extravagant in your witness as a light in the darkness of this world. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we are to do. We are called by His name, Christians, to share the extravagant love of God. It's a family tradition. Pass it on. Amen.
Receive this blessing, this benediction. May you be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and with the comfort and with the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that you have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.